This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. Next level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one and done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
This is The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Houston, acknowledge me. It is time
Hello.
To... see, God, why did you throw my hammer? Like a Johnny Dice. Hello! God. Let me cancel the segment, Johnny. Just cancel the segment. We're now ESPN rated 97.5, 92.5. You want to go to break, Johnny? We'll just redo this. We'll just redo this, and then we'll go long. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for going through that and selling it. Look at Johnny saw the music going too. See, that's pro work there. Well done, Johnny. You saw through my fake geek there and everything. All right, so. Island of Relevancy. This is basically, I think I explained it to you guys as this already, but think of this as Circle of Trust, okay? I'm just dressing it up as something wrestling because I'm a wrestling fan and I want to force Johnny to have to play wrestling things on the show. That's mostly what this is. Johnny judges me and so I get petty and force him to do wrestling things on the show.
Makes sense.
So right now we're playing the music of our tribal chief Roman Reigns and asking, are these players on or off the Island of Relevancy, Cam? We'll start off with the new Stros, the AAA squad that's making up half the Major League roster right now. Yesterday, Sean and I did some with the Texans with the offensive line. Spoiler alert, there was only one offensive lineman on the Island of Relevancy. We also did the receiving group, only Nico Collins. Well, I take that back, three people. Nico Collins, Christian Kirk, and Jaden Higgins all made the Island of Relevancy. Everyone else, access denied to them. All right. Right now, again, new Stros, the AAA guys, are these guys on or off the Island of Relevancy, Cam? First, we'll start with Taylor Trammell. On or off the Island of Relevancy?
He's played well for what he's had to do, so I will say he is relevant to me.
Yes.
This is the Island of Relevancy!
I completely agree. He is on the Island of Relevancy. This guy is up to a point where, one, he's having to hit leadoff, which is crazy, but that's kind of where the Astros roster is at. But last I checked, which was before last night, so I don't know if it's changed, but his OPS was over 800. It was actually even with Jose Altuve at that point, both at 807. Like, he's not only playing well because he has to play, but he's actually playing well. So
848 OPS.
848 OPS
right now? At
this
moment, 848.
Wow. Yeah, so Taylor Trammell definitely on the Island of Relevancy. All right, next up. Cooper Hummel. I think we should 3-2-1 this one because it's obvious.
I would like to pummel Hummel.
Okay. It's actually not a bad joke. All right. 3-2-1. Access denied.
Get him out of here.
Denied. Yeah, get him out of here. You're not on the.
You're not allowed.
No. Relevant.
Go back to
no
the
way.
Mainland.
That's an island joke.
I guess, yeah.
I see what you're doing there. All right, next one on this list. I think we're going to know which way we vote on this one, too. But Zach Short, the backup infielder that most often playing short. Short playing short, get it?
I do.
I know. I didn't know that one would go over your head, Short King reference. But
and of course not.
You got an unbelievable range.
Being a fellow short, I understand. You know what? I don't like his walk to strikeout ratio, but again, for what he's had to do,
we can't let him on the Island of Relevancy. He's got to be one of the first people to sit down when people start getting healthy, right? Well, yes. Cooper Humble's the first guy, but
he plays third.
Do you want him to play third, though?
I mean, if we're not going to have Paredes.
Okay, my vote is not on the island of relevance. Your vote?
Can I meet you in the middle and say he has a temporary pass to the island?
Okay, you know what? Let him on. Temporary pass. Johnny.
Island of relevancy!
Very temporary. This is not a full season pass. No. It will be revoked at some point. All right, I'm fine with that. Next up, Shea Whitcomb.
Oh.
I mean, access.
Sorry.
Access denied.
I wish I could say yes.
Get your ass off the island. Sorry, you're not welcome here. As Cam would say, get back to the mainland.
You're not
an islander. stupid Shea Whitcomb. Go hit your home runs in Sugarland. All right, next up on the list. This one is unfortunate. I had this on the list before the injury, though. Brandon Walter.
Oh, man.
I mean, he's on, but he's in the medical room, right? Like, yes. He's on, but he's not being able to participate with everyone else in the games on the island of relevancy. He's having to wait in the medical area.
Yeah, he's chilling in the
infirmary
area.
While
is cracking coconuts on the beach.
But all right, you're on the island of relevancy, Brandon Walter.
This is the island of relevancy.
You better have the same answer for me as me. I think on at least three of the next four. Certainly with this one, Ryan Gusto, on or off the island of relevancy.
He's Gusto go.
God, you surprise. You know what? I'll give you credit for this. Just when I think you've run out of terrible dad puns, you surprised me.
I always got some dad stuff in my pocket.
You know what? Yo, is this a safe space? Can I admit something here?
Please.
Okay. I was trying to think of a way to dad pun his way into No Me Gusta. No Me Gusto. No Me Gusto.
That would have been nice.
All right. Well, nice. We'll workshop it. We'll get there. Either way, access denied, Johnny.
Access. We should work for Hallmark. Denied.
Oh, yeah. Are people buying cards anymore?
Oh, by the way, I don't want him on my island.
Yeah, no, obviously.
Access denied.
Colton Gordon. I mean, he's got to at least get a temp pass, right? We need him. We need bodies right now. We're running out of bodies to put on the island of relevancy.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a 4 or 5 year old. He's serviceable for now, but temporary.
Temporary. This is the island of relevancy.
It's like you're allowed, but you don't get all the.
You don't have gold level privileges.
Yeah,
you're like a silver card member.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're like the streaming site where you still have ads.
Yes. That's what he is. That's what Colton Gordon is. I like it. All right, I think the next two are pretty obvious here. Jason Alexander.
To be honest, no, and I can only
vote him off. Access denied.
I keep thinking of the actor.
Denied.
Yeah,
American Pie. That's literally what
I. Hold on. You're thinking of Jason. That's Jason Biggs.
No, the one in American Pie, isn't his last name Alexander?
No, Jason Alexander's the actor from Seinfeld.
Even more irrelevant then.
Is Cam Smith the only one in America that hasn't been making George Costanza jokes with Jason Alexander?
Then he's even more irrelevant. So no. He can't even get on the boat to go near the ocean.
Okay, Johnny, am I alone in my amazement that Cam Smith is the only one in America not making George Costanza jokes?
Oh, no. Not
okay,
at all.
Okay, all right. Yeah, you're thinking of Jason Biggs was an American Pie.
I apologize.
Yeah. Yeah, different person. Man.
He could come on the island.
Did you never watch Seinfeld?
Oh, yeah. I watched so many of that one episode.
So, no, I think the answer is no there, John. Yeah. All right, last one. Are we voting him on or off the island relevancy? Again, I think a pretty easy answer here. John Singleton.
I want to say no, but the determination of this guy to stay in the league and continue to make his way back up to the Astros.
Come on. He's not getting back to the Astros because of grit and determination. He's getting out because they have 18 guys on the IL. They're running out of bodies.
He's the boat driver. He's allowed to come, hang out.
He's the Uber driver for the island of relevancy?
Yes.
Okay. You know what?
He serves
John
a purpose.
John Singleton, you're our Uber driver to and from the island.
Exactly.
This is the island of relevancy!
We'll allow him to visit the gift shop once he drops passengers off, but then he's got to get off the island again.
Yeah. Not relevant, but serves a purpose.
Yes. Let's go quickly. We'll go quickly through this. Just give me in or out on these old running backs in fantasy. Now, Mixon was on this list, but let's skip past Mixon because that's kind of a TBA at this TBD at this point. Derrick Henry.
Yes.
All right.
He's my keeper, actually.
He's on the island, Johnny. CMC.
Man, that's tricky. Yeah.
Sounds like you're not really a believer in seeing. Like, there, we've seen this before where with Carolina, he was hurt, like, back-to-back years. And then he pop up with, like, RB1 after that.
That's what I'm saying. There's so much value, but there's such high risk. It's just kind
he
of
He is
like,
going lower than he typically does, but not so low as to take away, like, if he's there in the second round, it's no doubt.
Absolutely.
Yeah, first round, I think, definitely inside the top six, I would say no. After that, I would have to see. All right, let's get past a couple of these I think would be obvious, like Saquon's obvious. Alvin Kamara. You still in on Alvin Kamara?
Absolutely.
All right.
And I don't care that he only gets 900 rushing yards. It's the fact that he can get, like, 12 catches a game.
There was that one game he went like 13
yards.
Catches
yeah.
for 30 yards with Derek Carr.
Give me those PPR points.
Okay, I'll group a couple of these together because I think the answer will probably be the same on both, but James Conner and Aaron Jones. You can either accept both of them or deny both. You're not separating them out.
For where I see, where I've been seeing them go in mock drafts, yes.
Yeah, I'm in. Access granted. You're on the island.
This is the island of relevancy!
David Montgomery, last one.
Yes.
Yeah, I think
it's work. It works in Detroit.
Yeah,
it works
I
in
think
Detroit.
So too. I do worry a little bit that without Ben Johnson, they scored less points, which means less goal line carries for David Montgomery. That's kind of his bread and butter because he's not a super, super high volume guy because of the split with Gibbs. So I do worry there's a little regression, but he's still, I think, worth a pick there. All right, that'll do it for the Island of Relevancy. David Montgomery, you're on the Island of Relevancy. When we get back here on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5, and it's time for the leftovers, the things we haven't had time to get to or couldn't make up a whole segment, including some beefs in the media. We got Cam Newton versus Ryan Clark and Dan Orlovsky, and we also have Shaq taking some shots at Rudy Gobert. That one, the bullpen returns, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back into the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, John Belmer with you here for about another 44 minutes, roughly. And we'll be back next week. I believe Sean will join us next week because he's obligated to come up to the studio for a producer meeting. So I think we get a visit from Sean A. Mapes next week here on the bullpen. Mount Rushmore Plus One coming up next segment. But right now, our leftover segment with some of the stories we haven't had a chance to get to or maybe weren't big enough to take up an entire segment. But have you heard about this beef right now that Cam Newton's having with Ryan Clark and Dan Orlovsky of ESPN?
I have heard some of it.
So if you didn't know the reason why, Johnny, we'll play our first clip here. Cam Newton, like everyone in America who covers or follows sports right now during July, are coming up with their top 10 lists for different positions. Cam Newton, no different. In this first clip, Cam Newton gives out his top 10 NFL quarterbacks right now.
The best quarterback in the NFL right now, drum roll please, Josh Allen. Number two, Lamar Jackson. Number three, Patrick Mahomes. Number four, Joe Burrow. Number five, Matthew Stafford. Number six, Jared Goff. Number seven, Jaden Daniels. Number eight, CJ Stroud. Nine, Justin Herbert and Baker Mayfield.
Now, if you're keeping track at home, there is a name left off that list that I think people are going to have a problem with, that being Jalen Hurts, the guy that just won the Super Bowl.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, Jalen Hurts not on the list, and that was a source of contention from, well, pretty much everybody that saw what Cam Newton put out there, but specifically Ryan Clark and Dan Orlovsky have taken some shots at Cam Newton. Apparently felt this was getting personal and decided to play. Well, okay, it did get personal because people were making like jokes and references to that time that Cam Newton declined to try to pick up a fumble in the Super Bowl against the Broncos. You remember that?
I do.
People were bringing that up, and Cam Newton not happy about those comments, specifically from Ryan Clark and Dan Orlovsky, decided to play a yeah-but game with his career versus their career. Let's hear the audio, Johnny.
Ryan Clark. Okay, let's pull up your stats. Second team All SEC. We cannot relate. Undrafted in 2002. We cannot relate. Then you have one Pro Bowl in 2011. We cannot relate. So if you want to unlock Petty Cam and everything that Cam Newton has ever said on this 4th and 1 show has always been backed by merit and logic, but some way, shape, form, people keep attacking Cam, the person, or why he didn't jump on the fumble, why he didn't do this, or comparing and contrasting. So when I compare and contrast you guys' statistics and Dan Orlovsky, never mind. But as we keep going and we keep unlocking and keep poking the bear, and y'all want to play this game.
I honestly, Cam Newton's petty game might be better than his football game. Like, or at least his later, like Patriots Cam Newton. He was better. He's better being petty than he was a quarterback.
We cannot relate.
Yeah, we cannot relate. Yeah, we need that as a drop. We need that drop going forward. But I loved how petty. Now, I think, one, it was a little ridiculous how much he refers to himself in the first person. That was a little bit ridiculous. On top of that, if you've seen the video, obviously, you remember Cam Newton's press conference game. What he looks like a NASCAR driver, but from Brooklyn. Because of, like, the hat and the glasses. Like, he looks like he's in Brooklyn, but he's got this jacket on with, like, a huge M&M's logo, like he's a NASCAR driver. But I loved how petty he got there, even if I thought, I get being mad that they brought up the fumble, although he probably should have gone after the fumble, bro. Like, I mean, take the L on that one. There's a fumble. It's the Super Bowl. Try to pick it up. So maybe go ahead and take the L on that. But I get why that would maybe bother him that they took it personal, but I enjoy the pettiness, but it was kind of funny how quickly Cam Newton took that personal instead of
instead of
debating the point, bringing up Ryan Clark's Pro Bowls. We cannot relate.
That was the best part, though. We cannot relate.
We cannot relate.
We cannot relate.
I think my favorite part was that it got to Dan Orlovsky. Never mind. like his career is
didn't even have to bring him up.
Yeah,
but did.
Yeah, it's like. Like, he could have brought up him running out of the back of the end zone, obviously. The RIP to your microphone just falling there. Wow. But I like the shot that basically your career is so insignificant that it's not even worth bringing up your stats like he did with Ryan Clark. Like, I'll petty cast the, you know, that Ryan Clark only made one Pro Bowl or that where he was drafted or whatever. But with you, it's like, you don't even matter.
I just... Did Cam even have like a?
Cam have what?
I mean, I guess he had a. I guess he had a decent. He had a pretty good decent career. Yeah.
Oh come on, Cam. Yeah. Come on. He was an NFL MVP. Of course, he had a good.
No, I know. It just. I guess I'm just. I need now, to think the, back to the end earlier
of his,
years.
The end of his career sucked, but like as a rookie, he threw for 4,000 yards. He won an NFL MVP. Like
he was a Pro Bowler that year too.
Yeah. No, he. Definitely had a good career. It was always a career I felt like was never going to win a Super Bowl because he won games more so on being the best athlete on the field than he did being a good passer, and that showed up in the Super Bowl. But
too many turnovers.
Yeah, too many turnovers.
Too many turnovers.
Yeah. And he always seemed to leave the ball high. Yeah. Like his mechanics weren't always that great. But that was fun listening to the pettiness there with Cam Newton going after Ryan Clark and Dan Orlovsky. All right, moving on to another petty beef. I knew that Shaq hated Rudy Gobert because I think everybody hates Rudy Gobert, unless maybe he's on your team. But even though I think even then.
I would never.
Even then, I think people still hate Rudy Gobert. I think they even hated him before he tried to give the entire world COVID by, like, kissing microphones at the start of the pandemic. But let's hear about why Shaq hates Rudy Gobert.
I hate Rudy Gobert.
Why don't you like Rudy?
Money. 250, you don't deserve it, dog. Yeah. As the president of the Big Man Lions, you're making big money, play like a big man.
Right.
That's it. Play like a big man. Throw some bowls, knock some people out. Don't be letting little white dudes from Denver dunk on you and talk to you. Then you got to grab them by the neck at the last second. Come on, bro. That's it. If you're going to get paid big money, play big. Right.
I just want Shaq to still be on TV when Rudy gets into the Hall of Fame because it's going to.
If Rudy Gobert gets into the Hall of Fame,
into the Hall of Fame.
If Rudy Gobert gets to the Hall of Fame, I'll wear this dress to the motherfucking ceremony. Okay.
Oh, I love it because Rudy Gobert. Did you just look up his contract?
No, I just looked at. They pulled up an actual dress.
Oh, yeah. No,
I was like, what dress could they
that's...
possibly make that Shaq could fit? And, well, hell, there it is.
There's a dress there. Yeah, there's a dress there. But, yeah, man, Rudy Gobert, like, basically, obviously, the implication there from Shaq is Rudy Gobert plays soft, and I don't think anyone would argue with that. Like, a part of that is perception because he's from France, but it's backed up with how he plays. I know he gets a lot of blocks, but
oh, the French.
He just plays like a little bee at times. Like, he's soft. He doesn't have a good physical post game. He seems to be more talk than he is physical. Like, Shaq's like, throw some bows sometimes. Like, he. Yeah, I think it's pretty easy to be annoyed with the way Rudy Gobert plays.
Yes, but is he still going to be in the Hall of Fame? Because remember, basketball Hall of Fame,
yeah,
it doesn't have the same threshold.
Right, it has the low of the three major sports. It has the lowest threshold because it's not the NBA Hall of Fame; it's the basketball Hall of Fame, which is why Yao Ming is in. Even though I loved Yao Ming, if it was just an NBA or if it had the same standards as Major League Baseball or the NFL, you know, Yao Ming's career would not have got him into those Hall of Fames. So I don't know. Like, how many times has he been the Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert? Like, three? Four? Oh, God. Yeah.
He's going to get in.
He's probably going to get in.
Shaq's going to wear that dress.
I will watch that. I will watch that when Shaq decides to put on that dress in the Hall of Fame. All right.
I mean, if his career finishes out how it is, 13 points and 12 rebounds, and he's basically Defensive Player of the Year every other year, he's going to get in.
He won't get in because of those averages. He'll get in because, I mean, I don't know how many players have won Defensive Player of the Year four times, period. He might be one of one, but even if he's not, I imagine everyone that's won the award that amount of times has gotten into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be interested to know how many players who have won it twice have not gotten into the Hall of Fame. It can't be many. We'll do that research later. Don't worry about it. Let's hear more. No, don't do it, Cam. We don't care that much. There's no way to know, as John Granato would say. No, there's no
if
way
it
to
was
know.
Anybody else besides Gobert?
Yeah, we're not gonna research. No, screw that. All right, more from Shaq.
Screw the French.
A pretty hot take from Shaq. He says if you basically swapped Kobe from his Lakers teams with T-Mac, they'd win the same amount of titles. Let's hear from Shaq.
T-Mac made a statement the other day, and I'm going to answer after you guys answer. He said, if you switch him and Kobe out as far as playing with me, the outcome is the same. You agree or disagree?
No, you're not just saying you switching out with Kobe and you're going to be what Kobe was. That's not. You make nothing away from T-Mac. With,
great player.
Oh, you're not Kobe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that mentality, too.
I might have to disagree.
I don't know, though. You know what my difference mine is, though, big fella, is? The mentality, like that killer mentality, everybody didn't have that. Like, he was a great player, don't get me wrong. But it was times that Mike and Kobe, I felt like that Mike gave Kobe something that nobody else would be able to even imitate and be able to, like, have that mentality. A lot of players no other players had it, really.
I agree with you saying, but you don't think I could have won three with T-Mac? I think I could have.
I think Shaq almost took that as a point of pride that they could have put anybody next to him and he won a title.
Yeah,
almost seemed like that's where Shaq was coming from more than a slant against Kobe.
I don't think he was saying that T-Mac was better than Kobe.
I definitely don't think he was saying that. I think he was saying that he was so good that even if T-Mac is 85%, 90% of Kobe, that they still would have won a title.
Which I honestly think I'd be – and the thing too is –
I don't think they would have won three. I think they could have won – so they won three in a row against the Sixers, the Nets, and the Pacers. That back-to-back-to-back titles. I think it was 2000, 2001, 2002. I think what actually makes his argument is who they face actually in the finals. Like, my argument would be more about getting to the finals.
Yeah.
Because they barely beat the Kings that one year, and it had to have some help from the referees to get past the Kings that one year in that seven-game Western Conference Finals. But once they got to the finals, like against the Pacers, the Sixers, and the Nets, I think they lost three games combined in those three NBA Finals. Like, I think they could have beat those three teams with T-Mac. But, man, like, I think there's something to what the Morris twins were saying about the mentality for Kobe, which is why I don't know if they get out of the Western Conference each time. Because, I mean, part of – it wasn't just that Kobe averaged 25, because McGrady could get you 25.
Easy.
It's not just, you know, the five rebounds or the four assists or whatever it was, because T-Mac could get you that. But it's the heroics in the clutch moments and the crunch times in the fourth quarter. Kobe had what Michael had, that killer instinct, like, get out of my way or I'm going to knock you the bleep out. I'm going to make this shot. I don't think T-Mac had that. So I don't know. I don't know if they win three titles – having to go all the way through, but in those three specific matchups of Nets, Pacers, Sixers, I do think they still beat those teams.
Yeah, and also, there was an interview with Kobe years ago where he said T-Mac, he thought T-Mac was a better basketball player than himself.
Kobe said that?
Kobe said that about T-Mac.
Specifically, he said, like, just basketball skill?
Like, for his height, his weight, and his skill, Kobe said that T-Mac was a better player. But to mentality. That point, Kobe had, like, and Kobe's not going to come out and be like, oh, my mentality is better than T-Mac. But that shows you that even Kobe thinks that athletically, T-Mac was better than him, but nobody had the mentality that Kobe had.
Yeah, that's why I don't think that's why I don't think they ultimately would have won all three of those titles. Because again, like I still do think that Shaq could have won at least one, especially given who the NBA Finals matchups. Like I think even with let's say T-Mac is 90% of Kobe Bryant, I think they still could have beat the Pacers, the Nets, and the 76ers. But especially against the Kings, I forget what year in that three-peat. The Kings faced them when they went to Game 7 and got screwed by the refs. That Kings team was nasty with Chris Webber, with Vlade, with Mike Bibby, Bobby Jackson, Peja Stojakovic.
Good old C-Web.
Hidu Turkoglu. Like, that roster was – I mean, Rick Adelman is the coach. That was a nasty roster. I don't think they get past specifically that series against the Kings when they went to seven games, if you subbed in T-Mac instead of Kobe. So for that reason, I disagree with Shaq, although I do think they could have beat, again, saying for, you know, the third or fourth time now, they could have specifically beaten their NBA Finals matchups those years.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting point. I mean, an interesting point by Shaq.
Yeah, because like in the T-Mac conversation, because I think what part of what we keep talking about is like the mentality difference. Yeah. We can't take – look, I know T-Mac – you could say injuries. I mean, he was on a team with Yao, and Yao would get hurt. Like, there was a lot of circumstances around why this was the case. But you still can't say, in my opinion, that, well, he could have done what Kobe did when T-Mac didn't get his first playoff series win until he was a role player in the Spurs.
And unfortunately, he couldn't stay healthy either.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, T-Mac, until he got to the point where he was just a role player, he wasn't a star, he wasn't the first, second, third best player on the Spurs, never got a playoff series win until that moment. And not only did he not get a playoff series win, as the Magic, he was up 3-1. I forget who they were playing. They were up 3-1 in a series when he was on the Magic. They lost that series. The back-to-back, or then he gets the Rockets in 2005. They win the first two games in Dallas. They go on the road in a seven-game series, win the first two games in Dallas, and still lose that series, including Game 7 by 40. Then back-to-back years, they have home court advantage against the Jazz. They lose both those series. Like, you can't be up at 3-1 and blow it, go up 2-0 on the road, blow it, and then lose back-to-back home court advantage series against the Jazz, and then have me say, well, you could have done what Kobe did. Like, he clearly, whatever it is that Kobe had, T-Mac didn't have it.
Which is why, to this day, people put Kobe and Michael as arguably two of the greatest players to ever play. Yeah, not just because
T-Mac's
of what they physically
T-Mac's
could
on a
do.
Lower tier. T-Mac's on a lower tier. Yeah. That's basically the gist of it. We have time for one quick more. Johnny, let's play the Joe Burrow thing. So, I actually agree with this take. It's pretty quick from Joe Burrow. So I think, yeah, we have time for it. I'm curious if you guys will also agree with this take from Joe Burrow. Go ahead and play it, Johnny.
Not really. I don't like boats like that.
Oh, go ahead and kill it. Sorry, kill it. Let me set this up better. That's on me. Don't worry. That's on me. So you can't hear it in the audio because the quality was bad. I cut it off. But Joe Burrow was asked by a teammate if he likes going out on a boat. All right, go ahead and play it.
Not really. I don't like boats like that. If you go on a boat, you're committed. Like, you're there for hours. Like, I like a boat for, like, 45 minutes. But then after 45 minutes, I'm like, okay, like, I've seen it all. We're on the water. Like, I get it.
Wow.
I 100%.
It's a great take.
I know. See, okay, Johnny.
No, not really.
No, okay, well, it's 3-1. We're on the side of Joe Burrow. You're on the side of, well, yourself. So I think 3-1 wins, right? Is my math right there, Johnny? 3-1 wins?
Yeah.
I think 3-1 wins.
Three is bigger than
you're outvoted. You're off the island of relevancy, Cam.
But he.
Access denied.
I feel like he. What am I trying to say? Like he argued his own point. Because at first he was like, if you're on a boat, you're out there for hours. And then he brings up 45 minutes on a boat. So it's just kind of like.
How did he argue against himself?
Because he's talking about how if you're on a boat, you're out there for hours. But then he's like, "But I can do a boat for 45 minutes." Well, then
you didn't hear what he said. So he said that he's saying most boat trips last multiple hours, right?
Yes.
But at the 45 minute mark, he's done. That's what he's saying.
That's his line.
Yeah, that's his line.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, some people don't like.
Like, I think unless you're an avid fisherman, then I think this is a pretty good take. Like, if you're an avid fisherman, then yeah, you want to be on the boat.
Or
boats.
If you're on a million-dollar yacht.
No, that changes things. I mean, that changes things.
That's a boat?
It is a boat, but you know, there's so much to do on a yacht where you wouldn't even necessarily see the water. Like, so, I think this has to be a smaller vessel.
Is that what he's referring to as just like a little fishing vessel?
I don't think. Well, he doesn't specify, but I would have taken this as like a kind of a mid-tier boat, a boat that's big enough to cruise around on in the open water, but not one that you would. Not a yacht. Yeah, not a yacht.
I mean, I get his point, but also that is essentially the point of a boat, to go out on the water, relax.
It is, but I think that's part, like, man, we really
want to. That's just not where he wants to be.
Yeah,
like, yeah, that's fine.
Like, depends on what your interests are. Like, if you're really into fishing, it makes sense. Or if you want to go out in, like, a water ski, that makes sense. But, like, if you're just, like, hanging out, you know, having a drink, it's like, okay, 45 minutes go by, like, all right, I've relaxed, I've had 3 drinks by now, like, let's go back. Like, what the water looks this, the water for the next 2 hours is going to look the same it did as the last 45 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not mad at his take.
I like the take.
I prefer,
I think it's a pretty good one.
I like boats. I like being on the water.
You like, let's see. Oh, we got a text coming in. Let's see if this is on he's going back to the Kobe thing. He asked 2341, how old are you? Did you watch the series? What do you mean getting screwed about the referee? Like, go watch game 7 of Kings and Lakers. I mean, Tim Donaghy got dragged into that at one point. Like,
isn't he the ref that went to prison?
He is the ref that went to prison. Did he go to prison? I know he's obviously in trouble because of the. Anyway, the refereeing in that series, specifically Game 7, was pretty shady. I'll just leave it there. Like, we're not going to go whistle by whistle for the final 5 minutes or whatever, and go call by call on what was not a great call. But I think the Kings were the better team that series and just got a little bit unlucky with the calls from the referees. But even if you think that game was well officiated, it was still a 7-game series, and if we think T-Mac is not as good as Kobe, which I think is pretty obvious, then you could still say, even without bad officiating, that the Kings would have beat that if you subtract Kobe, put in T-Mac. But anyway, that's belaboring the point.
15 months in prison.
15? Oh, he did? Okay. All right. Mount Rushmore plus one on the other side of the break. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
Loaded Ray Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Welcome in, Houston, to the best part of your weekend. Welcome into Mount Rushmore Plus One, the award-winning, groundbreaking segment that's forever changed the sports radio landscape. And we'll get Cam, John, myself, Sean Mapes, even A.J. Russ, who was on the show yesterday, did Mount Rushmore Plus with us, into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame in far less than the 27 years it took those bums, John and Lance, to get into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. Can I tell you how nervous I was to do that bit yesterday?
Nervous were you?
Thank you, Johnny Carson. I was more nervous because I felt it was like the odds of John and Lance hearing me say that went up, I think, substantially doing it on a Friday. And on a Saturday.
Yeah, that was a little risky.
I still did it. But I think I kind of also kind of weaseled, like, this is just a bit. Don't hurt me.
You put yourself out there.
I know. There's nothing wrong with that. I put my neck out there to get cut. I don't want to go with the Godfather. All right, Mount Rushmore Plus One time. I'll go ahead and kick us off. So, as you guys know, we did a bit on the show a few weeks ago where I picked my college football team. By the way, a little update. The James Madison Dukes. undefeated right now, 12-0 regular season. Suck Canada. I don't know how that relates to James Madison, but I like it. I like where your head's at, Johnny.
I would hope on the freshman level that's where you would be.
No, I'm not playing on freshman level. Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. Are you kidding us?
What are you talking about?
I think he's questioning your ability to play the game.
You want to play? You want to have a game? Do you even have the game?
No.
What are we talking about here? Jeez. No.
May I ask what level you play on?
I forget what it's called. It's the level right below Heisman.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
So that's, I would play on Heisman, but it's a league with seven other people, so, you know.
That's pretty impressive with a team that three-fourths of the country has never heard of.
Yeah, the James Madison Dukes. But, yeah, we're 12-0. I got a win against Josh Beard in the regular season. That was my only user game. We will rematch in the Conference USA Championship game, even though, unfortunately, because Tulane is also undefeated out of a different conference and ranks like five spots higher than me, even if I beat Josh in our rematch for the Conference USA title, I don't know if it would be good enough to get me in the college football playoff, unfortunately. Your microphone's struggling. All right, enough of that. So I bring that up because my list for Mount Rushmore Plus One this week is related to College Football 26 because it's some of the best randomized names that I've seen come up during College Football 26. These are all real names that were on College Football 26.
Player names.
Yeah. Because obviously, every time a recruiting class comes up, they have to, you know, generate hundreds, if not thousands, of names.
Oh, this is
great. And people take screenshots and put them on the internet. I've got a list of like 12. Like, I could do so many lists with this, and there's way more. One of them, Russell Westbrooks, plural. So I guess that means he's better than Russell Westbrook.
That's
crazy. I don't know, but yeah, that was a player that I saw out there in the transfer portal, Russell Westbrooks with an S on the end. Another player I really wanted to get my hands on him, but unfortunately did not land him as a commit. Jason Bourne was available.
Oh,
yeah, Jason Bourne. That would have been good. That would have been real good. I would have liked to have Jason Bourne and Russell Westbrook on my team. Three more. I have such a hard time not only deciding which ones to go with because there's so many, but also which ones I could say on air because some of them are a little
whatever you want, B-Mac.
Now you're just trying to trip me up, John. You're trying to get me fired. Did Granato put you up to this after I called him a bum on Friday? And
us Johns stick together.
This reminds me of the Key and Peele bit.
Although these are more...
These are real.
Well, they're still fake. I mean, they're
real in the game.
You're the real in the game. All right, I'm going to combine these two because they have the same last name maybe. They're brothers. Max Tongue and Tommy Tongue.
Tongue.
Yeah, Tongue. Yeah, their last name, Tongue. First name, one of the guys is named Max. The other one's Tommy.
Are they popular with the ladies?
Remains to be seen. Depends on how they...
Are they a five-star recruit?
I don't remember their level.
That'd be great.
They should be. I mean, they should be. A few more names on here. Christian, spelled with a K. So K-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. Christian. Last name, Virgin. Christian Virgin.
It's better than Tongue.
That takes it so far.
I mean, at least it fits the branding, right?
Did you play for BYU?
He should play for BYU. Yeah, he should play for BYU. We'll see which more. Which other ones I want to read here? Another one on here, Deacon Priest.
Okay.
I hope he plays for like Incarnate Word or something. Like he's got to play for a school with a religious background.
I hope he's like a nasty like edge player too.
Yeah. Getting up doing like. Dude, like really provocative sack celebrations. Deacon Priest. Yeah. How many did I name there? That's four. I got so many. All right. One more on here. This one's just easy. And actually there's a real life player with a name kind of similar to this. That being, I think it was it Jake Booty? Or no, General Booty.
General
remember
Booty.
The quarterback, General Booty?
Yeah.
Well, he's got competition from a player I saw on the game named Major Butt. Major Butt.
Two T's.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Two T's. Yeah, two T's.
That game is unhinged.
Yeah. No, trust me. I'll tell you some more in the break. I really don't know if I can say all of these, but some of these names are unbelievable. Cam, your Mount Rushmore Plus One.
My Mount Rushmore Plus One actually comes from a incident that occurred earlier today before I got to work.
The gate at your apartment complex not open again?
Actually... Please don't jinx that, because we've had issues recently, yes. Mine is the the worst people based off just like small petty stuff.
Okay.
So the incident that occurred was a gentleman was walking his dog without a leash. And
you're not really walking the dog at that point.
You're right. The
not to be technical.
He was strolling
with
his dog.
Yeah, you're walking. I mean, the dog wants to run off. He's going to run off.
It's not so much not having it on the leash. It's the fact that his dog then runs up. And it's a smaller dog. But my dog is very, like, protective. Like, she's a pit mix. So she's very, like, already high strung and like, energetic and guarding me. So she doesn't like when dogs run up on me. So it's the fact that this dog was not on a leash, ran up to me, and then my dog kind of got into, like, defense mode. And then the guy was like, hey, check your dog. And it's just like, hey, my dog's on a leash.
Right.
Protecting me.
Your dog's creating a problem.
Yeah, your little ass dog is off of a leash running towards my dog.
Yeah. No, so you're in the right there.
I hate when people do that. Like, just put your dog on a leash. Especially when you're in Midtown and you're off major streets. It's just like, do not think that that dog can't run across the street.
Some people have just a crazy belief that their animals, like, would never do something random or against what they want them to do. Which is odd because they're still an animal. Yeah.
Anyway. If my dog sees a squirrel, it doesn't matter where we're at. Yeah. She's trying to dart at that thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you're Mount Rushmore plus one?
That's
your Mount Rushmore plus one is related to this?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Because that's the first incident. So,
oh, okay.
Dog walkers with no leash. The next one is people that go to the grocery store or any place that has shopping carts and just leaving it in a parking spot.
Yeah, especially since it's a lot. I'll see it sometimes. It's literally like three spaces over. It's like, come on, man. How lazy are you?
When you go to HEB, there's literally like five places on each aisle to put your cart. And there people would literally just leave it 5 feet away. And
I know. Like some places I'll go to, it's like every six or seven like parking spots, there's a return. Yeah. Like we're not talking about walking, what, 30 feet?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So lazy.
Another store one, when people, I haven't done it to this extreme, but when people go to the 10 item or less self-checkout and they have 30 items.
Yeah.
Now, sure. Have I done 12 or 13 items? Yes. 30, 20. I hate you.
I would throw them in jail for that.
So much.
I would throw them in jail for that.
Especially when you have 15 other aisles.
There's always such an entitlement to those people. Because, like, I don't know if you've ever said something I have. They always give you, like what business is of it yours? Like, well, the whole reason we're here is because we're at a point where we're trying to get through quickly. You're not purchasing an order that's a get-through-quickly order. Like, you're not entitled to slow us down just because you want to, quote-unquote, skip the line. Like,
exactly.
That's what you're doing. You're skipping the line.
You're creating more lines when you don't have to. Yeah, I hate those
people. We live in a society, people.
Exactly.
Continue, sorry.
People on their phone during a movie.
And I thought you were going to say in a restroom, which is also annoying to me.
Oh, I don't mind.
I don't care
to hear your conversation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, obviously, I don't care if you're looking at Twitter or whatever while you're pooping, whatever. I'm talking about having the loud conversation on the phone.
Or like, they're on speakerphone.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I'm not talking about people that like talk on their phone because I don't think I've actually ever seen people talk on their phone during a movie.
I had that happen once. Can I tell you?
Please.
When the first Aquaman came out, like the Jason Momoa Aquaman's, not anything. I don't know if there's any Aquamans before that. Anyway, when the first Aquaman came out, my wife and I were sitting at the very top of the theater we were at, and there was this group of like four or five people, like two like middle-aged women. I can't remember who else was with them. But literally, no joke, this has happened obviously a long time. This was pre-COVID. I still remember the exact wording this lady said. Her phone goes off. Full ringtone. Wasn't even like it was on silent and vibrate and she picked it up. So it goes off full ringtone, which is strike one. She picks it up instead of silencing it in whatever. That's strike two. She answers the phone. She says, no, I'm not busy. What's up?
Oh, hell no.
What the? Are you talking about? You're at... Oh,
I see why you go to 10 o'clock movies now.
Well, it's also why I sit as far up as I possibly can without being uncomfortable. Because if I'm at the very back of the theater, everyone in the theater that gets on their phone, any one person gets on the theater, I see it.
Yeah.
If I'm in like the third row, everyone behind me, it doesn't matter what they do, I don't see it.
Yeah.
So anyway.
No, so that, and it's mostly what I see is people, granted, I've done it too. I've checked my phone, but I make sure that the light is dimmed all the way down. But there are people recently, a movie that I went to, just checking their phone and the brightness
is all the way up.
And I'm just
I get if you get an alert, especially if you have a kid or maybe it's a job, that you have to glance at it.
True.
But if it's more than a glance, you should get up and leave.
Exactly.
You can glance at it. Okay, it's not important. You know, then you turn off the screen. If it is important, you get up.
Yeah.
That should be the rule.
And the final one is people that eat or drink half their order and then complain about it. Like, sir, you ate almost your entire meal, and now you're telling...
Some places have those policies where, like, they have to...
And they should, because that is such a petty move.
Repeat that. I was looking at a text.
People that
text
eat
line.
Or drink half their order, then complain about it.
Oh, okay.
It's like you just scarf down three-fourths of your sandwich, saying you don't like
There's a Bob's Burgers episode where there's a... Watch that show?
Great show. I like when they crossed over with Archer.
Well... They didn't really cross over with Archer. It's just the same voice actor. Is that what you mean?
No.
What episode? I've watched every Bob's Burgers episode like 30 times.
Was like two or three episodes.
No.
I swear I was getting a tattoo when it happened.
Okay. Send it to me because I do not remember that at all. Like I know it's the same voice actor. John H. Benjamin voices both Archer and Bob Belcher. But no, there was an episode where there was a scammer who... at the burger place and at Jimmy Pesto's, ate all but like the last bite of his meal and then complained that he found a hair in his food. So it kind of reminded me of that.
Okay, here it is.
All right, tell me about the crossover.
The title of the episode was Fugue and Riffs. In this episode, Archer suffers from amnesia and believes he is Bob Belcher, the owner of Bob's Burgers.
Oh, so it was an episode of Archer.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I thought you said it was a Bob's Burgers episode.
Oh, no, sorry.
Okay.
Bob's Burgers. Yeah.
I have not seen every Archer episode. I stopped after like season 4 or 5. Okay. I misunderstood there. Text in. We're going to have to carry this to the end of the show here. Wasn't really enough time to go to break. So we got another, about 3 minutes here. Quickly, I'll read a text and then we'll get into what we love from sports and what the worst person in sports. From 1429, how long should a member of your dynasty be able to hold up the group? I feel like this might be someone in my dynasty. And I'm wondering if I'm holding up the group right now, which I know when I left, I was clicked ready to advance. The person who was not was AJ. AJ, one day? Is that your answer? You're saying... Oh, what? What is that, John? Just say it on air.
It's okay. I was giving you a 1 minute mark because we're really close to it, and you said
we were 54:50. My clock says 52:48.
It's 54:09 right now.
Oh, this clock is really off then. All right, let's get into what we love from sports and our worst person sports. We won't play the audio. We'll just talk about them here real quickly. Of course, and as I do that, my Google Doc app immediately crashes and starts to refresh. Oh, man, that is bad. All right, last minute here of the show, what we love from sports and our worst people in sports this week. My worst person in sports this week was the XFL for relocating markets, including Michigan, Birmingham, Memphis, and Houston. Houston will lose their XFL, well, now USFL team starting in 2026. Cam, who's your worst person?
To be honest, I don't have one.
All right, perfect.
It was a good week.
Let's go into what we love from sports this week. Oh, man, I wish we had time to play this audio. But go out and find Greg Olsen talking about how hard he coaches up his Little League football team. He's going to talk about going out there and making sure the other players on the other teams he's facing, these are junior high kids, know that they could be leaving in an ambulance. The way he talks about it is so hardcore that's pretty funny. What'd you love in sports?
What I loved, and this is, it doesn't seem like it would align with the best person. I love Jalen Green's comments about how, oh, I love you, Houston, but next time I see you, I'm going to have to drop 35 on you.
All right, that'll do it for the bullpen. For Cam Smith, for John Belmer, I'm Brian McDonald. We'll be back next weekend. Have a great weekend, Houston.
I don't like boats like that. If you go on a boat,
you're committed. Like, you're there for hours.
Like, I like a boat for, like, 45 minutes. But then after 45 minutes, I'm like, okay, like, I've seen it all. We're on the water. Like, I get it.
ESPN 97.5. League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.